Hey, you guys just missed the big thunderclap. It's the 31st of July in the year of our Lord Hussein Obama 2016 here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and it's raining outside. Wasn't expecting that today, but it's a little drizzle. It's not real rain. But there's just this big thunderclap. Nice. I like thunder. I like lightning and thunder. Yes. Remember back in the old days, whenever it had lightning and thunder outside, my grandmother always say, "Yeah, unplug the TV, because the lightning will hit the power line and blow up your TV." So I always had to turn off the TV if it was fucking lightning outside. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. Shove your opinion up your ass. That way Hillary's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. The crowd goes wild and millions of fans. Greetings, friends and enemies, boys and girls. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. Been podcasting for 11 motherfucking years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the women's platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. Cruise missile that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. All of you fucking 99%ers, you fucking Tea Partiers, you fucking Occupy faggots, you Black Lives Matters, you social justice warriors, whatever fucking label you're hiding behind to try to disguise the fact that you are a fucking communist, it doesn't fucking matter. Statism is ultimately communism, okay? There's no form of statism that isn't communism. Sorry, I know you right-wing statists think, I'm not even to frame Martin and all this other shit. No, just like every other fucking statist out there, you right-wing statists who believe in the free market and all this other shit actually believe in taking things away from other people and giving them to other people. That's what statism is. Hey, if you take away controlling other people's actions, like if you took statism, in any flavor, right-wing statism, left-wing statism, this has nothing to do with what I was even going to talk about today. It's amazing. The microphone gets turned on and suddenly shit comes out of my mouth. I actually have notes for today. By the way, oh, and in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. And I am still the great one himself. We're on the interwebs at cynlibsoc.com. And you can send us email at God, it's dog spelled backwards, God at cynlibsoc.com. And yes, I still need to do the fan mail. I still need to do a lot of fucking things. It never ends. I still always think back to many, couple of years ago, I say many years ago, back when I was your age, I remember some odd years ago, one of my fans wrote a letter and said something to the effect, I gotta find this, it's gotta be out there somewhere, maybe it's a YouTube comment, I gotta find it, you know, he said something to the effect of, what are you ever gonna do if you run out of material to talk about? Oh, I could only get so like, please, please, I would love to run out of material to talk about. Oh, fat fucking chance. I mean, we got Hillary Clinton up there doing all those crazy things. We got those of you who think Donald Trump is going to win. Look, guys, I'm telling you, the corporations want Hillary Clinton. The NSA, the CIA, the FBI, everybody who matters, okay? The Muslims, there's no way Donald Trump is going to win. Sorry, not going to happen. Again, I would love to see a shitlord like Donald Trump become president of the United States. Oh my God, can you imagine the... Ooh, more thunder. Just... Oh, I mean, like, look at the tantrums that have been thrown over Brexit over there in England. Can you imagine the tantrums that will come forth from the fucking Femistatist and the White Knight Femisimp beta males. I mean, the fucking tantrums and from the media. Oh, holy shit. The tantrums that will erupt from our society if the shitlord Donald Trump were to be elected president of the United States. I would sacrifice my left pinky to see Donald Trump. Somebody said to me, great one, if you let us take this, I actually saw this, it's a long story. It's like not a Twilight Zone. It was some kind of a series like that. There's a story and the guy's betting that his lighter would light 10 times in a row. And if it did, or sometime, you know, he would win this car, but the other guy wanted this guy's pinky if he lost the left pinky off his left hand to cut it off with a hatchet. Or, I'm not a hatchet, a meat cleaver. And that's always kind of stuck in my mind, even though I'm these vague recollections. But it's like, seriously, if somebody came to me and said, great one, hi, we're from the NSA, and of course we control the presidential elections. Great one, we will make Donald Trump president of the United States for 4 years if you let us cut off the pinky on your left hand. I think I might do it. I think seeing, experiencing 4 years of tantrums. I just want to see how all of you fucking cocksuckers who for 7 going on 8 years, while Obama has bombed 7 other countries, while your fucking piece of shit messiah has murdered people with flying robots, you know, I just want to see all of you people who have completely ignored these things, who have no problem with dropping bombs on civilians, no problem with flying robots blowing up children. I want to see all of you fucking worthless, disgusting pieces of shit suddenly notice the government killing people. Because you've ignored it for 7 fucking years because Obama's half black. He's got dark skin, and by God, whatever the fuck Obama does, it's totally okay. And if you disagree with Obama, you're a racist. I just want to see all of you pieces of shit. That's why I've been saying this for ages. I want a Republican to win the presidency, which is never going to happen again. Again, realistically speaking, let me remind you, as I have said, this is it. Donald Trump is going to lose because he's not going to serve the interests of the corporations and ISIS and the NSA and all these other people. There's never going to be another Republican Party president. It's over at the presidential level, I should say. There'll still be Republicans get elected to the Senate and the House and local, you know, like governors and state governments and shit. No, I mean, that's a different thing. At the presidential level, the Republicans, they're dead. They have very clearly shown, and this, I mean, they showed it with the Ron Paul. Right, when they just bent Ron Paul over and said, hey Ron, we realize there's a lot of people really like you, including people that would never vote Republican. Because I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Randy, wasn't I talking about something else before I started talking about it? Oh, I was talking about how all statism is communism. Okay, hang on, let me make a note. That's the wrong piece of paper. All statism is communism. All right, I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to close my tangenting. Here comes the fucking land whale. Not a feminist, a train, though they're about the same. I'm working on the lexicon. The CLSology is very close to being released. Working on an essay about why women want Muslims to come to Western countries and rape them. And once those two things are complete, I'm going to try to knock out the lexicon. The fuck was I talking about? Yes! Ron Pauling Ron Paul. Right, so Ron Paul came to Colorado State University, the college here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and gave a speech, and I went to see that, which is one of the first, well, let me rephrase that, the first political speech I have been to in well over 10 years, because back in the day, I used to be active in politics, back when I thought that, you know, voting mattered and that there was a difference between Republicans and Democrats, and that's the cue for Bernard Chapin and Aaron Clary to go, "But there is a difference between Republicans and Democrats!" So, you, all of you guys, Aaron, Uncle Bern, you guys go change your fucking diapers. This was back when I thought there was a difference between Republicans and Democrats. So I went to the Ron Paul speech. And I'm there, and I ran into this guy who I knew from prior times. And I knew that he was a left-wing statist. I knew that he was an Obama supporter. I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" You know, he's like, "Yeah, I'm blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "Man," he's like, "I'm here because I really like things that Ron Paul is saying." And I'm paraphrasing heavily. I mean, remember, this was how many years ago when Ron Paul ran. But essentially what he said to me was he was very disappointed in Obama. And I talked about this on the cast because I said for a long time that these people who are disappointed in Obama didn't really exist. Because, and I still think to a large extent they don't, because all of you cocksuckers out there who voted for Obama, even though he hasn't closed Guantanamo Bay, he hasn't given you free healthcare, he sure as fuck hasn't eliminated the deficit, he hasn't given you free college, you know, he hasn't done anything he said he was going to do, you look the other way and you ignore those facts because you're not going, most of you, and this, I give this guy credit for this, the 99% of you out there are not going to look at Obama and recognize he is a failure and say unto yourselves, "Whoa, I fucked up. I believed Obama was going to do this shit and I supported him and he is a lying motherfucker and don't I look stupid." Right? You people out there do not have the self-awareness or the intelligence to do that, right? This is one of the many things that separates me and other anarcho-capitalist and anarcho-capitalist inclined people from you, is that we can look at things we've done in the past, such as, in my case, supporting Ronald Reagan, and recognize, "Oh, shit, you know, Reagan said a lot of good shit. You can read Reagan's speeches and listen, but he didn't pull through on any of it." You people lack the ability to look at your support for your Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, and recognize that, no, he just bent you over and fucked the shit out of you. Right? He slid his big old black cock right into your ass. He pumped it a couple of times. He shot a load inside your butt, and then he pulled it out and spun you around, and he shoved his cock in your mouth, and you fucking swallowed the rest of his cum, and then you licked your ass off of his cock so that it'd be nice and clean so you go stick it in the next person's ass. Okay? I have it, the blueprint for change. It's on the website, cynlibsoc.com, on the motherfucking interwebs. Go there, find the blueprint for change. Download it, actually read it, because I read it before you ever got a look. I fucking read it. Now, read it and find how many things in there actually happened. It's all a bunch of fucking lies, but you can't recognize that because you're stupid. This is also why I, as a non-stupid person, recognize that it doesn't matter what Hillary Clinton says she's going to do. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump says. Donald Trump's going to build a wall. Really, Donald Trump's going to get out there with some fucking bricks and some mortar? He's going to build a fucking... Well, he go, yeah. No, no, he's not. And you people who think that because a politician says, "I'm going to do something when elected," that that means the politician's going to do it, you are perhaps the stupidest humans on the planet Earth. You are the stupidest fucking people that have ever walked the Earth. And if the government did not circumvent natural selection and give you food stamps, you would be dead. Okay? This is another reason I would love to see Donald Trump get elected. Because every fucking day, in addition to making fun of people about asking them if they need any cardboard boxes to move to Canada, I'm also going to make fun of them. Are you scared he's going to build a wall? Are you scared? Are you scared? I hope Donald Trump builds concentration camps. I hope he puts everybody in the concentration camps who didn't fucking vote for him. It's not going to happen, but I can dream, right? Anyhow, I'm at the Ron Paul speech. I'm sure all that had something to do with something. Coffee. It's almost 1 o'clock. Oh man, I went trail running this morning. Let me do another tangent. We'll come back to Ron Paul in a minute. Let me make a note so I don't forget where I'm at, because sometimes I do that. Ron Paul. All right. We went trail running this morning. Oh, it was beautiful. And I went farther. I went down a trail that I haven't gone down since last year. And I remembered why. Because it's very technical. A lot of rocks, a lot of up and down, a lot of loose areas. In fact, for much of the trail, there's no running. You're pretty much climbing. So the run, and then it just sort of dead ends, which is cool if you just want to go down there and be away from people. But if you want to, but I was thinking I was going to come back to the main trail, and I was going to come back on a different trail or on the road or something like that. And it just dead ends right there in the middle of it's not the middle of nowhere. But the point is, it dead ends. So I'm like, ah, crap. So now I had to go back over all of that shit. And, hold on a second. It's still raining outside. I can hear it. It's nice. We need it. Might head out later for a beer or two also. Trail running. Yes. I didn't remember where I was. And while I was out there, I ran across this woman. Who was also trail running with her dog, and her dog was freaking out because I was there. And she's like, oh yeah, he's scared of some people. And it only reminded me, because for a woman over the age of 40, and I say she's over the age of 40 based on her face, based on the wrinkles and the thickness of her mustache. But for a 40-year-old chick, her body was pretty amazing. Neck up, needed a lot of work, and she had the dog, and it just reminded me, I like to throw these little tidbits out for you young guys out there. Guys, boys, when it comes to girls, right, you may think, because you don't know any better, that women with dogs are cool. It's like, oh, she has a dog, she's really cool. Let me explain to you the deal with women who have dogs, because this is very important for you to understand, especially if you are a Manosphere reader or anything like that, where there's always this stereotype of women who own cats, right? The crazy cat lady and the women who are alone have their cats and yada, 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 so forth and so on. As you may or may not know, I like cats. I am a cat person, and I have maintained in the past. And one of these days, I'm going to do the podcast explaining why dogs are statist and why cats are anarcho-capitalist, and cats are superior to dogs. Any woman who has cats is superior to a woman who has dogs, but that's not where we're not making that case right now. I just want to stick with dogs. So you may think a woman with dogs or a dog is cool, that this is a good sign. Boys, it is not. You need to avoid women with dogs like the plague. They're just like women with horses. They're insane. There's one exception to this. If a woman lives in the country, okay, like on a ranch where they have land, and if she has a dog or multiple dogs, and think about this. You're standing next to the dog. If the dog's skull, not the top of its ears, but if the dog's skull is at least even with your knee, when the dog is simply just standing there like a normal dog, that means the dog is large enough to be considered an acceptable dog. So if the woman lives on a ranch out in the country where the dog spends more than 50% of its time outdoors running around, and if the dog is large enough to be an acceptable dog, that is okay, because that's like a country dog, right? If it's like a sheep dog or whatever, see, that's an all right dog. That's okay. A woman who lives in an apartment complex or in town and has dogs, get the fuck away. Okay. If she lives on a ranch and she has chihuahuas, you talk on the scale of indicators of mental illness, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 47. I cannot even envision why you would fucking have a chihuahua on a ranch other than mental illness. Okay, that is a warning. Here's the thing to understand. First of all, there's two things to understand about women with dogs. When a woman has a dog, she's substituting. She has a dog because she either can't get a baby or she can't get a boyfriend. If a woman has two dogs, it's because she can't get a baby or a boyfriend. And if a woman has three dogs, it's because she is completely fucking insane. If a woman has a rescue dog, completely fucking insane, okay? Women get dogs, and somebody else pointed this out. I read this somewhere in the Manosphere. I don't remember who said it, so I can't give credit. If you figure it out, let me know. You can leave a comment, whatever. Somebody in the Manosphere pointed out that if you look at women, you'll notice that their dogs are always men. They always get boy dogs. And of course, his assertion was because they like, you know, having power over men. I read that and I thought about it and I started thinking about girls that I had dated in the past and girls that I knew and girls that I know, like not fucking them, but just like neighbors and girls I'm friends with and stuff. And I started thinking about it and yeah, you know, most of them do have male dogs. It's interesting. So the women have these dogs because they're substituting for an emptiness. Another interesting thing, so I'm out at the trail running thingy. The trail running thingy. These are fucking technical terms. Don't try to use these at home. I'm a professional. I'm at the trailhead is what it's fucking called. And this woman had pulled in her vehicle, and she was, of course, talking on her cell phone because she has a vagina, and she, of course, if you have a vagina, you can't go more than 20 minutes without your fucking cell phone, God forbid, because you would fucking die or something. But she's talking to somebody on the cell phone, and I can overhear the conversation. And what she says to the other person is essentially this. Again, obviously, I'm paraphrasing. She says, well, I like dogs, but I don't want a dog. I don't want to have to pick up dog shit. I don't want to have to deal with taking care of the dog. I don't want to be stuck. I want to be able to, if I want to go camping on the weekend, I want to be able to just leave home and go camping and not have to worry about the dog. I don't have the time to be responsible for a dog. And I thought to myself, all right, this woman just exhibited to me more intelligence and self-awareness than, you know, a solid 85% of the female in the species. And there it is. This is another answer. Women with dogs are like women with horses. They're okay for occasional fucking. If you're just doing like an occasional fuck buddy thing, that's different. But if you're thinking like some kind of long-term relationship, and again, I'm not saying long-term relationship is good or bad. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. Just saying, if that's where you're going, you want to avoid women with dogs. Because a woman with a dog is exactly like a woman with a child. Except, the dog will not ever fucking grow up and leave home. The dog sure as fuck won't grow up, go to medical school, become a doctor, and fucking pay for his mother in old age. No, no, no. You are going to pay for her, and you're going to pay for the fucking dog food. And the fucking vet bills. And when she gets another dog, you're going to pay for that dog as well. Okay? It's just like a woman with a child. The next thing to understand about a woman with a dog is... Okay. I'm going to try to be brief about this, but... oh, yeah, I'm going to be brief. All right, look. Way back in the day... when the evil patriarchy ruled the land, dogs were wild animals, right? So humans domesticated dogs. Dogs, unlike cats, can fucking kill us. I mean, it's not like you couldn't be killed by a cat if it tried hard and so forth, you know, whatever. But the point is, when you think about the average cat, your life's not in danger. When you think about mini dogs, certainly Chihuahuas and shit are different, but, you know, your average medium dog, like a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd, or these dogs can fucking kill a human. So when you as a human, when the human species is domesticating these animals, you want to make sure the animal doesn't fucking kill you. Now, it's a little bit like statism. when you are the government, I am so fucking brilliant. Because it just occurred to me right now. I'm this fucking brilliant. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to stop. I want you to just, if you worship any gods, if you, whatever, you know, if you don't, you just want to thank the cosmos. I'm just say, cosmos, thank you for giving me the opportunity to experience the brilliance of the Great One and to enhance my understanding of the world. Thank you, cosmos, for this opportunity. The cosmos says, you are welcome. It's just like statism. The government wants the 99% to be as dependent upon them as possible so that the 99% won't do anything like stop obeying the government. Thus, the government gives the 99% bread and circuses, the welfare, the food stamps, the WIC, all this other bullshit, the bread and circuses. The human species is domesticating the dogs. The dogs can fucking rip your throat out, so you don't want the dogs to do that. So in the process of domesticating dogs, the humans domesticating them made sure that the dogs became emotionally and psychologically dependent upon humans to the greatest extent possible. Okay, this is why if you have a cat and you walk in, you kick the cat runs away. If you have a dog, you walk in and you kick your dog goes and then comes back to you because the dog is so emotionally bonded to humans that it needs that attention, right? It's just like the statist. The statist needs the statist is emotionally bonded to the government. The government can fucking spy on your phone calls and your emails. The government can raise your taxes. The government can tell you that if you have white skin, you're a rape. The government can do, they just shit in your, Obama can lie to you for 8 fucking years. He can kill people with flying robots. And it doesn't matter because all of you just go back and go, because you need the government. You are so emotionally attached to the state that you cannot exist without the attention the state, the government, the corporations gives to you. Dogs are the same way. The dog is emotionally attached to the owner to this great extent. And what's important to ultimately take from this is that, and those of you maybe who have a little more, if you're young, if you're under 20, maybe you think I'm making this up. If you're older and you have life experience and you've known a lot of people who own dogs, and there's also research literature to back me up on this. You can use Google. I can't quote any right now, but I've seen it. It's out there. Dogs will mirror the emotional problems of their owners. So when this woman on the trail says that her dog is afraid of some people, what this tells me is that she's afraid of some people. I'm telling you, if you think I'm wrong, start paying attention to the people you know, the women especially, but men are not exempt from this. This works for men. Again, I talk about women a lot in this context. It's not that I'm saying men don't suffer the same thing. It's just because I'm not trying to have sex with men or date men. I don't give a shit. That's why I don't talk about men. Men are not exempt from this. Look at people you know, male or female, who own dogs. Look at the dog's bad behavior. And in some cases, there's almost no bad behavior. And see, now that is a good indicator. Because if the dog doesn't have bad behavior, and this doesn't mean like the dog has been beat and shit like this, so the dog is like whimpering and submissive all the time. That's bad behavior, right? If the person is beating their animal physically or emotionally abusing their animal, I mean, you can't get much fucking sicker than that. Look at their animal, look at their dog, look at the dog's bad behavior, and then think about your friend and ask yourself, does the dog and my friend have the same bad behavior? Or does the dog's behavior somehow mirror or complement? Or is it an opposing aspect of some of my friend's bad behavior? You will find almost always this is true. Yeah, I can tell you from experience, poorly behaved dogs indicate an owner with some kind of fucking problems. Speaking of mental problems, before I forget about this, let me get this on here. Rational mind? Fuck. I just listened to it. Where's my... No, it's not here. Shit. The rational... Hold on. I think I got it written down somewhere. I just finished listening to an audiobook. Ravenous. Rational Ravenous. The Ravenous Brain is the name of the book. I recommend reading this. It's very interesting. He goes off a bit at one point and tries to be a philosopher, and it's kind of hilarious to listen to a... What the hell? He's like a neuroscientist. Listen to him trying to talk about philosophy and moralize about right and wrong and how society should be. I was laughing my ass off at some of his stupidity. But then again, once he gets, it's just a short little part and it's entertaining. Once he gets into his field talking about the brain, it's really interesting. The Ravenous Brain. Highly recommend you get this book. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's a lot of technical, you know, obviously scientific, and there's a lot of things I can't rattle off. But here's your takeaway messages from this book. First of all, this is interesting. He pointed out that humans, so our conscious working memory, and no, I have not forgotten about Ron Paul. We're going to come back, and I haven't forgotten about why all statists are communist. And I haven't gone anywhere near my notes yet, and we're 32 minutes into the podcast. Because that's how we roll here. By we, I mean, obviously, I'm schizophrenic. What? Anyhow. Hold on, I need to catch my breath and remember what I was talking about. The Ravenous Brain. Okay. Humans have working memory. So your working memory is how many different things you can keep in your mind. And I always I think about it in the sense of buffers in a CPU, because this is how much of a loser I am. Because I remember when learning a program back on a freaking 286, it only had 4 buffers in the memory. And so, you know, if you want to add some numbers, you put A in buffer 1 and you put B in buffer 2, and then you tell the computer to add A and B and put the results in buffer C, or buffer 3, whatever. So, but you could only have... In the CPU could only work with 4 numbers at a time. So working memory is much the same, of course. We only have, research and experiments have shown that pretty much humans can only keep 4 different things in their working memory. And he goes through a lot of examples of different experiments and tests they've done that show that 4 is pretty fucking much the number. And I'm not going to go into it from memory and yada yada. Read the fucking book. But he shows pretty conclusively that 4 is the fucking number. And then what's interesting is how he talks about one of the ways we get around this is by chunking. Right? And, chunking. So chunking is putting things together. So it's like, for example, when you first try to drive a car, right? You're trying to do all these things. You're thinking about, oh, I gotta keep my hands on the steering wheel, and I gotta keep the car in the lane, and I have to look in my mirror, and I have to look to my left, and I have to look to my right, and I have to think about pushing the gas pedal, and I have to think about when to push the brake, and when I come to an intersection, I have to think about, is it a stop sign, a yield sign, so I have to think about what station is the radio on, I have to think about, oh shit, there's a hot chick over there, and so you've got all these individual things, right? And you only have 4 compartments in your brain, you only have 4 working memory slots. And so you're really overloaded when you're first learning something like driving a car or playing guitar or computer programming or playing basketball or whatever the fuck it is, right? When you're learning something for the first time, it fills up all of your working memory slots. But as you do more of it, you chunk things together, right? So now, of course, if you've been driving a car for years, you can hop in the fucking car, you fire it up, boom, you're going down the road, you're fucking text, and you don't even really think, right? Because now, in driving an automobile, instead of being a bunch of separate tasks, has become one task. You have done that enough times, you have enough understanding of it, that you chunk all of these things together, the brake pedal, the gas pedal, the rear view mirror, the turn signals, the windshield wipers, the radio, the looking at the cute girls, the staying between the lanes, the looking at road signs, all of those things have now been chunked into one thing. And so that chunk of driving the car takes up one working memory cell, leaving you three other working memory cells to just try to make it a little simplistic. So anyhow, but it's four. Four is pretty much the fucking hard limit for humans. And that's what research has shown. So that's really interesting. Another part of this that was absolutely interesting, and oddly enough, this is why I am the Great One himself. This is why you need to be listening to me. I've been saying this for years, but hey, now I have science. Okay. He looks at mental illnesses, which, as I have told you before, there is no such thing as a mental illness. There are physical illnesses, which have mental manifestations, and all physical illnesses, right? If you break your arm, you feel pain. That's a mental manifestation. If there's no actual physical manifestation, if there's no brain chemistry imbalance, if there's no brain damage, so forth, that's not a mental illness. That's called making shit up to get attention. So there's no such thing as a mental illness, because all your mental illnesses are a result of some kind of dysfunctional brain chemistry of another. He talks about mental illnesses, and he talks about how, I gotta make sure I get the words right here, as right as I can, running from memory. Autism. It's autism, right? Where is it, autism? Fuck. I'm pretty sure it's autism, which he explains, as far as they can tell, appears to be essentially too much consciousness. The people who are autistic are more aware of everything that's happening around them than the average person. And that's why they try to create order. And that's why they have like these, right? They're like math geniuses, or they can hear a song once and then play it on the piano. All this sort of stuff. Because what they're doing is they're more conscious of what's happening around them, and their brain is trying to chunk this stuff and make order out of it. For almost all other mental illnesses, and these are his words, not mine, I mean, I'm not saying all of them, but then he goes on to point out that for a very substantial chunk of other mental illnesses, they can almost all be distilled to being a symptom of not getting enough sleep, of having a fucked up sleep cycle in some way or another. He then extrapolates a little further. He talks about some other stuff, and I'm glossing over a lot of things here because it's a very technical, complicated, in-depth shit. He gets to the conclusion that a large number of mental illnesses could be fixed with regular sleeping, thunder, exposure to sunlight, and meditation, which he does a brief bit explaining, yes, meditation works. Here's the benefits of meditation. Here's what meditation fucking does. Science shows us that even as few as 5 sessions of meditation cause changes in brain chemistry. Now, what have I, the great one himself, the founder of the motherfucking Cynical Libertarian Society, been telling you motherfuckers out there for years? Turn off the motherfucking computer, eat some goddamn nutritious food, go to fucking sleep at night, go outside in the goddamn sunlight where humans evolved. I know you fucking faggots out there don't believe in evolution. I'm in my mom's basement and, you know, my stupid fucking friend is like, if I go outside, I might get cancer from sunlight. Well, that means you should be dead, bitch. Okay? If sunlight gives you cancer, that's evolution telling you your DNA is supposed to fucking be gone. Okay? Humans evolved in the motherfucking sunlight. Okay, so sleep at night, go out in the fucking sunlight, get some exercise while you're out there, and fucking meditate. And when you think about mental illnesses are going up in young people, well, let's see, how often do you see young people outside in the fucking sunlight exercising? How often do you see them meditating? How often do you see them fucking sleeping right? That's not necessarily their fault, because remember, they're fucking, the fucking morons who do public schools make the kids get up early to go to school, not because it's good for the children, because it's good for the fucking people who run the school. And then the kids get home, and then they sit around and they stare at their fucking computer screen, it fucks up their sleep cycles. So you got all this fucking medicated generation, you got the fucking millennials, little fucking pieces of shit that they are. They have all these fucking mental problems, I'm transgendered, and all this other shit. Well, how often do they go the fuck outside? How often do they exercise? How often do they get sunlight? How often do they fucking eat right? How often do they meditate? How often do they stop looking at the fucking computer screen? There's something else in there I'm forgetting. I know. Eat your fucking, goddamn it, sleep, sunlight, meditation. That he boiled. Look, he's like sleep, meditation, sunlight, can solve a large number of mental problems, including ADHD, ADHD, and schizophrenia, possibly. Not saying that if you just make somebody sleep at night and stick them out in the sun and then they meditate for 5 minutes, they're instantly cured. Not fucking saying that. I'm not saying that. He's not saying that. Nobody's fucking saying that. But what he says is that the brain chemistry in these mentally fucked up, mentally sick, mentally broken people looks a lot like the brain chemistry of people who have got normal people who go without sleep. And he's saying that, yes, in cases where people have tried things, there has been some success. You take people with mental illness and you just get them on a fucking regular sleep cycle with their REM sleep properly in balance and all this other stuff. You give them some sunlight, they meditate a little bit, they start getting better. Imagine that. Go the fuck outside and get some goddamn sunlight. We have an entire generation called the millennials. They're terrified of sunlight. They don't fucking sleep. They don't fucking eat nutritious food. They don't fucking exercise. I know you know this one millennial. Go fuck yourself. Anyhow, The Ravenous Brain. I highly recommend reading it. Okay, so Ron Paul. I'm at the Ron Paul thing, and I run into this guy I know is a left-winger. And he's like, he says to me, again, paraphrasing, I felt really betrayed by Obama. He hasn't done the things he said he was going to do. And I was like, damn, you know, this is me, I can admit. It's like, I really did not believe that people who realized Obama had lied to them existed. And of course, so Ron Paul got Ron Pauled because the Republicans were not any chance in hell going to let him be the presidential nominee. Not really sure. So I finished the Ron Paul story, but I'm not really sure how I got on the Ron Paul story. Other than, was it because Donald Trump isn't going to win? And did you see how the Republicans tried so hard? And of course, the Democrats Ron Paul'd the shit out of Bernie Sanders, who then, of course, Bernie Sanders has principles. He was principled enough to support. He's like, oh, I endorse Hillary Clinton. And, you know, for those few Bernie supporters out there who might be a little disillusioned or whatever, good for you. And welcome to reality, you stupid motherfuckers. Did you really think? We got the wind coming through. We got the wind chime. I don't know if you guys can hear the wind chime, because I got the windows open. The wind is blowing through here. Ooh, it's getting cloudy outside. Damn, look at this. We might get some fucking... This could be some serious rain. Ooh, nice. I like rainy, cloudy, windy weather like this. This is great. This is good beer drinking weather. Now I may have to go to the brewery and have one or two. The fuck was I talking about? And I know I have to get back to why all statist is communism. And also, I recognize that we're coming up on the end of the episode, and I still haven't got to anything on my list. I love it. God damn, I love it. The fuck? All right, I'm not sure why the Ron Paul thing was important, but it was. And yes, Bernie sold out. Sell out to the DNC. Sell out to Hillary. The DNC is gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be all right. Dun, dun, dun. It's just interesting too how blind and stupid you people are. You got the email leakage and all this other shit, and you guys are just like, oh, Hillary, she has a vagina. I'm gonna vote for Hillary. I'm with her. And it's so fucking dumb. But of course, none of it matters, because as I've said before, this whole myth that there are these people out there who, in a presidential election, look at the two candidates and really put time into trying to decide which of them would be the best person to... No. Okay, you're going to vote Democrat or you're going to vote Republican. Here, and this is the thing, it doesn't even matter. The people, nobody... The primaries have happened, so we now, or whatever they're called, we now know that it's Hillary versus Donald, right? It doesn't matter. You could have gone to people 6 months ago and said, okay, are you going to vote for the president? Are you going to vote Democrat or Republican? And everybody who said Democrat is still going to vote Democrat. Everybody who said Republican is still going to vote Republican. And the people who say, I don't know, are just lying. They're just fucking lying. Okay? When it comes to presidential elections, people vote Democrat for their entire life, or people vote Republican for their entire life. The number of people who change over because they become disillusioned with their party is insignificant. It is virtually non-existent. Right? This guy at the Ron Paul speech, he was considering voting for Ron Paul. Ron Paul didn't get the nomination. Who do you think he voted for? He voted for Obama the second time, even though Obama betrayed him. Why? Because Obama's black, and Obama's a Democrat. All statism is communism. Communism is based on taking things away from other people, taking things away from a group, a person, a group of people, whatever, and giving those things to somebody else. Typically, it's money, because money is easily transferable, right? You take the money from people who have jobs, and you turn it into food stamps, and you give it to people who don't have jobs. Or you take land away from people who own land, and you give it to people who don't own land. The other aspect of communism is controlling people. Look at communist countries. They control what jobs are you allowed to do, what jobs are you not allowed to do. They control public transportation. They control what's legal and illegal. They control what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. They control things. So communism is about controlling other people. And communism is about the redistribution of wealth. Now, if you look at statism in any other form, say, for example, United States of America, democracy, all this other faggoty shit. Think about the federal government of the United States. If you remove from the federal government redistribution of wealth and controlling what people do, what do you have left? Pretty much nothing. I don't know, the Office of Patents and Trademarks? Maybe that's not redistribution, and maybe, well, no, that is controlling, because it's saying to other people, you can't use this. The federal park system? Well, no, that's saying to people, oh, you can't come on this land unless you pay this money, which is then redistributed to people in the form of food stamps. Right? If you remove the two principles of communism, controlling people's actions, redistributing people's wealth, if you remove those two concepts from any other status system, be it a republic, be it a democracy, be it an oligarchy, be it a monarchy, whatever, well, there's nothing left. Statism is communism, because communism cannot exist without controlling people and redistribution of wealth. Statism cannot exist without controlling people and redistribution of wealth. Finally, I watched a movie. It's called Departures. It is a Japanese movie. I am not going to attempt to pronounce any of these people's names because I don't have a chance in hell. Now, what I know about Japanese culture comes from movies, so God knows how much of it is wrong, but this is apparently, let's assume that this movie is fairly accurate, the corpse of dead people in Japan is prepared for burial, like putting on the makeup and all this stuff in front of the family. And so like the undertaker is doing this right there in front of them. I don't know if this is real. I don't know. Okay. All you need to know is the movie is called Departures, and it's worth your time. It is an excellent, excellent movie. It shows female hypergamy. When she finds out what he's doing for money, his wife leaves him. And then when she finds out she's pregnant and she needs provisions, she comes back to, you know, so he can pay for the baby. And that was hilarious. And I'm like, oh, look, hypergamy. It's in every culture. Yes, all women are like that. Other than that, well, I mean, not other than that. That's just the way women are. This is a great movie. I very, very highly recommend you check it out. You will laugh. You will cry. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work. Again, it's called Departures. Watch it. All right, I'm out. I'm going to go do stuff. I'm going to go get sunlight and exercise and, you know, tonight I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, yeah, because I don't have a fucking mental illness.